Thank you to all the kiddos who have come to sing and to teach us and remind us about how much God loves us all. Let us pray together as we prepare to hear the word of the Lord read today. Holy Spirit, pour out upon us wisdom and understanding that being taught by you in Holy Scripture, our hearts and minds may be opened to receive all that leads to life and holiness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our first reading this morning comes from Scripture from Prophet Jeremiah in chapter 23, verses 1 through 6. Jeremiah foretells the time in which the Lord will raise up a righteous branch who will reign as king over all the land. Jeremiah, of course, is speaking of Jesus Christ. Our faith, in its most basic form, is about a relationship with this person, Jesus, whom we call Christ or Messiah. He is the one who reigns over us, the one in whom we find our identity and our being, and the one in whom we worship this day on Christ the King Sunday. Let us listen to the words of the Lord. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doing, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. And I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. For the days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Our second reading comes from Paul's letter to the people in Colossae, and it's found in chapter 1, verses 11 to 20. This is a hymn of praise, a song of hope, and a reminder to give thanks to God in all circumstances. Let us listen to the words of our Lord. May you be strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile himself to all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. The words of life for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, as I begin today's sermon, I want to take a moment and explain the meaning of Christ the King Sunday and what this worship service means in the life of the church. Now, I know there's probably some of you that are here today who may not be familiar with the church calendar year, so that's what I want to explain briefly. The church calendar year ends the last Sunday before beginning our celebration of Advent. And Advent is a four-week preparation before Christmas as we await the arrival of Emmanuel, God with us. Not only do we end a church year today, but we celebrate the undeniable truth that Jesus is King of the universe. He rules sitting at the right hand of the Lord Almighty. So today marks an opportunity for all of us to ponder today the glorious truth that Jesus is Lord of all, and to consider whether we are living our lives with an earthly intention or a spiritual intention. Consider it another kind of New Year's Eve, opportunity to reflect, to look back upon the year behind us from a spiritual perspective, remembering moments when we did feel the presence of Jesus Christ, in which we acknowledge that gift from God, and the times where we listen to the Holy Spirit speaking in our lives and reflecting on how we lived our spiritual lives here on earth. Of course, at the beginning of January, on New Year's Day, it's common for us to think about our earthly life. How many of us in this room have made promises to ourselves that we will keep throughout the year? Maybe promises like losing the weight that we've gained over the years, or maybe this year we'll make amends with that family member that just really annoys us. Or maybe you've had New Year's resolutions where you have been adamant that you will improve your skills in your job so that you can be considered for raises and promotions. It's a given that our thoughts so often turn towards how to enhance our earthly life or how to live our best life on earth. Of course, we have people all around us who are writing books about how to live your best life and how to take advantage of all that our life on earth provides us. And of course, don't we all want our children, grandchildren, to excel in school, to make friends, and for them too to have the best life? We want that for ourselves also, but at what point do we just simply stop and think and make resolutions for our spiritual life? At what point do we make a decision for ourselves and for our family that our relationship with God the Creator, Christ the Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, the Sustainer, will be our focus in the coming year? Now, don't take for a minute that I'm saying this as a way of condemning all of us or a way to make us all feel uncomfortable. I'm not speaking with an intention to make any of you squirm in your seat today. But it does feel like if we are proclaiming that Jesus Christ is King of the world, that we should probably focus some part of our life on living as if Christ is the King of our world. A couple weeks ago, Jim and I had friends over for dinner at our house in Dubois, and my friend Amanda, who was eating with us, asked me if I would consider marrying her brother and his fiance next fall. She proceeded to explain that her brother doesn't believe in God, so he doesn't like the idea of being married in church and doesn't want to have to go through some of those expectations we have in a church wedding where you complete premarital counseling and so on. Honestly, this couple, her brother and his fiance, just need someone to marry them so that it's official. Now, I didn't say no at the moment, but I did say to her that I have trouble imagining officiating a ceremony without mentioning God. But I thought about her request for a few days afterwards. Now, she was simply asking, and I know that whatever decision that I make, she would understand, but there was a part of me that thought it was just a little bit humorous that she would ask me, an ordained minister, to officiate, a non-religious wedding ceremony. Now, I suppose there are some ministers that would say yes, seeing it as an opportunity to show Christ's compassion and love to a couple who don't know or believe in Christ. Honestly, I saw it as an opportunity to say no. Not an unkindly no, but just no. Because, like I said, I can't imagine not talking about God and marriage together. This couple was asking me to ignore my spiritual beliefs in order to create a ceremony that was comfortable for them. Now, I could officiate from an earthly perspective. I have the authority to perform marriages in this state with a proper license. And honestly, I could say yes and probably make some easy money. But something makes me say no, because saying yes requires me to acknowledge that God is not necessary in a marriage ceremony. And I can't do that. Some pastors could, but I can't, because it goes against the spiritual life that I am trying to live. My soul, my entire being understands that in this situation, when two people are making a promise to live a married life, that the promise needs to be extended to the God who created human beings to be in relationship with one another. And it goes back to what I'm trying to convey this morning, that there are times when we have to acknowledge we are created to be spiritual beings and not only human beings. Just like the picture shows on the screens this morning, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And this is the point that Paul is trying to convey in his letter to the church in Colossae. As they are surrounded by a variety of teachings that are confusing them about what they believe in Christ, Paul says he has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Do you understand what Paul is saying? He is saying that we are members of the heavenly kingdom, and our permanent home has been secured through Jesus Christ, who has forgiven our sins through the power of his death. Which means that our life now is so very temporary compared to our life and our home in eternal heaven. And I think that this is transformational. When we acknowledge the truth, it's the kind of news that should turn our world, our priorities, our possessions upside down. But the question for me today that I'm asking is, does it ever do so? For some of us here today, I think too often we know all the right things to say about Jesus. And without hesitation, I can say to you from behind this pulpit that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and I bet all of you would nod your heads in agreement. We are really good at memorizing the Apostles' Creed or the Lord's Prayer in a way that would impress other people. Some of us have scripture memorized. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9, a life verse for me that I've kept in my life through the years, but yet it hasn't kept me from getting scared or discouraged. I worry sometimes that most of us take our relationship with Christ for granted. We know all the right things to sing and to say and to pray and worship, but other than that, our lives don't look much different from one who has yet to make time to be involved in a worshiping community. So often we put Christ on a shelf, out of sight, until the next Sunday when we dust him off for an hour and give thanks, and then he goes back on that shelf in the back of our mind until Sunday rolls around again. We put Christ on a shelf for years because we are so busy with work and family life, and then never understand why our kids aren't going to church as adults, or we bring Christ out when a family member dies, or we receive troubling health-related news, but other than that, our lives seem more consumed with the day-to-day responsibilities that we involve ourselves in. And what I'm really afraid is that we've allowed Jesus to become some sort of novelty and less the King who rules our hearts and our minds. And why? Because most often I don't see our belief in Christ transforming our lives in big ways. All too often we are living our life committed and focused upon the things of this world that we've been told are the most important things in our earthly existence. And believe me, I'm guilty of it too. I don't have a superpower just because I'm a pastor that enables me to keep Jesus first in my life at all times. I'm human like you, and I get caught up in what the world around me tells me is important, like owning a house or getting a new car or having that perfect body and so on. And honestly, those things, though, are so trivial in the grand scheme of God's redeeming work upon earth. God is doing so many bigger and better things in our world that go far beyond the things that we find ourselves dwelling upon. And it begs us to ask today, is all that we stress about, cry over, and fight about the most important things in our lives? Well, I hope not. I pray not, because if the things of earth are what we strive to obtain or achieve, it might mean that we will miss the glory of heaven here on earth. Paul says that believing in Jesus Christ should make everything in our lives different. It's not simply a matter of fitting Jesus into our present way of thinking. We can't say, hey, Jesus, this right here, well, it's really important to me, so just try to fit around it. I mean, if we truly believe in Jesus, we are then transferred, moved, deported from one way of living to another. Nothing is as we have known it. In his book, Searching for a Home, Spirituality for Restless Souls, Craig Barnes writes, there isn't one part of this world or our fragmented lives that is void of the presence of Jesus Christ. If you only want to focus upon what the world around us tells us is of value, well, Christ will still be present. Christ will be present at soccer practice and dance recitals and family dinners. Because we do not have the power to force Jesus Christ from this world. But consider the reality that this life might be much fuller, much richer, when we invite Christ to be the focus of our lives. When we might say no to the demands of this world so that we might say yes to the invitation from Christ to be present with him. Imagine a time when you might make more time for you and your family to be more active in a worshiping community, so that your children will experience the blessing of a Christian community long before they receive it in heaven. Imagine creating relationships with other people who believe in Jesus Christ so that when the worst thing happens here on earth, you are surrounded by a praying community. Now, of course, you can find community outside the church, but here we have an intentional opportunity to experience through worship and study and prayer and conversation a glimpse of what heaven will be like. Craig Barnes believes that all of us are yearning for home. Our journey begins on earth, but it ends with Jesus in heaven. And I'm not saying today that we ignore all that our world offers us, but perhaps our focus needs to shift slightly so that we can prepare ourselves for our eternal home. The reason that we are called to set our minds on things that are above is not to ignore the things on earth, but to discover for ourselves and for our families a vision that allows us to live in Christ this day and every day. And in this way, our entire life can be our way of giving thanks to Christ. So happy new church year, and may we all worship Jesus Christ with our whole lives. And to Jesus Christ, who loves us and frees us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests of his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Please join with me in our praise song. I invite you to stand as we sing the words in our bulletin and that are offered on the screen. Please rise if you are able.